Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Wow, for a second, I thought we had a boom roasted coming up right now. 12:02, halfway home on this Friday. Gresh and Andy Hodd is in for Keith. Keith will be back on Monday. Hart's marathon run is over with, at least I think. Are you in for people next week? Or?
Oh, yeah, I'm here 2 to 6 Monday.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
And then...
Here Saturday, Sunday first.
Oh, my God.
Fitzy,
so you're
2
in,
to 6 on Monday.
So you run a marathon. You're in mile 12 right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking for water and cookies and bananas and anything to get me through. Especially with today in the mix.
Why would you put yourself through that hell?
Because it's awesome. It's a great accomplishment and achievement. Everybody should do it.
Right. That's what they told me why I should write a book. And people, and then they're like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, but if no one reads the book, I feel like there's disappointment.
No question.
Whereas again, with the marathon, you finish. Like, you run the Boston Marathon, you do the whole 4 months of training, you finish.
Yeah,
it's an experience. It's a bragging right.
Sounds
it's,
like hell.
You should do it. I'm being dead serious.
Not a chance.
Why?
I have no shot of doing that.
Why? Oh, anybody can do it.
Hips and knees.
If you can dedicate yourself to the training.
Well, there you go. I don't want to be the person that finishes at like 10 o'clock at night with just Roachie standing there doing a live shot.
The guy with the brooms out there sweeping up the finish line.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
One running
they're
by.
Turning everything down and then like here's
that's
the
true. No,
and
I
then like here's
be.
The person who finished in, you know, 10 hours or whatever.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean that. I meant, like, really finish in, you
know,
4.5 hours.
No,
whatever.
God, no. There is zero chance of that
You're
for me.
You're a former athlete.
See, it doesn't
you
matter.
Fancy yourself a former athlete.
You got bad knees and hips from taking all the hits.
Okay.
You can't do it.
Slow jog. Slow burn into a slow jog.
Here's what it is. Give me those. If I can get size 15 triple E of those wheelie shoes, fine. Then I could do it.
That won't help you on the uphills.
Well, fine, and then I can run up those. But going down, I build up some steam, get a free mile out of it.
Can you not run? Like, if you had to right now, could you run 1 mile? 3 miles?
No, mile, I could run one, but I would need ice packs on all
oxygen.
Those movable joints. Not even the oxygen part of it. It's more the hips and knees.
It'd be like Ben Roethlisberger showing up to camp.
No, a little bit. I mean, but it would be like for me, it's more the hips than the knees, quite honestly. There.
Okay.
Shot.
Okay.
It's only a matter of time.
Well,
you know, you get to the point to where you like you could throw the ball and you could throw a ball and then all of a sudden you're 40 and you're like, oh, wait a minute. What's this clicking in my shoulder? And then it's like, oh, I got to start throwing 3/4. And then you're
well,
like,
that's the adjustment
you
make.
Well, that's also how you tear your shoulder up and cause more problems if you're an old.
That is true.
Well, see, exactly.
Tore a bicep hitting, fly balls.
Plus, there's still a bigger difference in age from us than you think. Like, Keith and I have a 10-year difference.
Yeah.
You're not that far off. I'm closer to 50 than 40.
Yeah, but you could, I think you could do it.
And you did it under 40, by the way.
I did.
Yeah, so there's a huge difference.
I could do it again.
No, don't say that.
I could.
Because then you could, but you're going to get wrangled in.
And I don't want to.
I know.
I've already done it.
Been
there, done that, accomplished it, felt good, felt the pride.
But still.
Got the shirt, got
still,
the whole thing, and moved
but
on.
But if you're of the, oh, man, well, I'd rather have two shirts than one.
No, I'm good.
Someone ends up
move on.
Reeling you in. No, neither of us are running a marathon anytime soon.
Probably not.
However, we could figure out how to call some offensive plays, and I think the New England Patriots will be looking to do the same and show that their offense isn't completely falling apart. 617-779-7937. I wish I could read the 860, but we can, but it's pretty funny off of Wiggy's little slip up there during slow burn. It feels like people don't know what to think. I'm starting to think that Patriots Nation is either you're crapping on them or you don't know how to feel. It's either real negative, coach is an idiot, Mac's not good, this offense stinks, whatever it is, throw the narrative out there, right, that's easy to hop onto. But are you kind of getting the sense that for some in New England, it's the, I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel going into this year. And it's leaving everyone kind of in sort of a sports or Patriots opinion limbo right now.
So do you spend much time on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So have you seen those memes with the little kid voice that starts with, and nothing could go wrong, and then,
it all went horribly wrong. And they show the they show the crane that's lifting up the truck near the river, and the whole thing
flips
over
or whatever. There's a million of them out
there. Shy meeting.
I feel like that right now is where fans are with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Bill Belichick, so nothing could go wrong. Oh, no, it went horribly wrong.
And maybe that's Matt a Patricia. Part of it, too, is that some people can't get past the, you know, hey, I haven't questioned Bill for such a long time. And I think in getting Mac the year after Cam, it became, okay, that's the Bill that I know.
Right.
Versus
but who did that?
Well, huh?
Who did that?
Who did that?
Who got Mac and then got Mac in the playoffs and got Mac in the Pro Bowl?
Oh, you mean Mac himself did it or did Belichick? Oh, Josh McDaniels.
Oh, Josh McDaniels was part of that. Josh McDaniels actually got blamed for being too restrictive with Mac and holding him back and harnessing him and not letting him be free. He's free now. He's free. He has no coaching.
Well,
Mac can do whatever Mac wanted.
You know what,
even
though?
Mac has said he's suggesting plays.
But what does that mean? That McDaniels might have been holding him back. Do you subscribe to that theory at all? Because one of the things that I do wonder, is how much freedom Mac Jones will have within whatever they're going to do. Has he gotten kind of the green light? Because, and you know this from covering the early days, Tom Brady didn't have green light. Tom Brady had very little ability early on to be able to. Now, if the play call was a check with me, it's one or the other. That's one thing. But we didn't see a lot of the sort of second half of the Brady career. Let me do this, move this guy over, get out of the huddle quicker, I'm going to be the maestro. He might have been able to do that in year two, but they didn't let him.
They also didn't need him to. Because you were in an era where your defense had guys like Richard Seymour and Ty Law and Mike Vrabel and Teddy Bruschi. You were a defensive team.
But that's got nothing to do with holding back the quarterback.
Oh, I think
if they have the ability to be a maestro and sort of change things.
What's that word? If?
If.
If. We don't need to find out if we know we're only going to give up 9 points in a game. We can win 10-9. We don't need to be changing plays and being creative and taking marginal chances with the development of our young quarterback to see how smart he is.
Well,
and how
that's
good
tough.
He is.
Well, that is a tough sell considering the year before in the Super Bowl, you could have played it safe with the defense, but instead they turned the kid loose for a minute and a half and it set up a kick and won him a game.
Because you were holding on for dear life and you wanted to win a Super Bowl, in my opinion.
Well,
there.
Maybe there was a little bit of that, but there was, let's put it this way, in the biggest game, there was trust to let Tom Brady, the neophyte back then, do his thing. And then to think in year two that it was, nope, handcuffs are still on you, kid. We're not ready to go. And that was because of the defense?
Tom Brady, the neophyte, had, what, 86 yards passing until that point in the game?
So if this defense turns out to be a top three scoring defense like they were last year, does that explain why Mac Jones maybe didn't have the freedom other than him being a rookie and having Josh McDaniels? And if this defense is good this year, then why wouldn't the Brady rule apply? Then Mac shouldn't get freedom, should he?
Well, I think it still will. I think that's how you assess your team's strengths and weaknesses and how aggressive you need to be. We've gone through it over the years, even with the greatest quarterbacks, the Peyton Mannings. He knows if he punts, he loses. He doesn't have a defense. This isn't the Bob Sanders year where he has a defense. Nope. They give up points. They give up plays. He needs to score or move the ball every time he hit. Like, that plays into the equation, the risk, the reward that goes into it. And Mac has talked about he had some freedom last year. He had the autonomy to change plays, to audible, to do within, I'm sure, a structure, not just carte blanche. Do what you want.
Relatively
kid,
basic, yeah. Don't change a run play on third and five to five spread and.
But
open
if you
it up
see something,
it,
we trust you. You're smart. You're a heady NFL ready QB. That's what he was billed as. Like, get us in the right run play or get us out of the worst pass play into a safer mode here. But do I think they asked him to sling it all over the field? No, they didn't ask him to sling it all over the field. And I think it's got a negative connotation. Josh held him back or Josh molded him or
yeah.
I think it was a positive. Like, when you're teaching your kid to walk, you don't go to a top of the hill, let go of his hand, and the child starts fumbling. All of a sudden, he's doing ass.
Well, you might yell at the kid, you suck. You can't walk. What's wrong
with you? But, you know, you're cautious, and you help him. And then you realize, oh, yeah, Amy moving pretty good. Let's go to a hill and
see if
he can handle
the wheels off the
bike. Let's go to some stairs and see if he can go down two stairs, three stairs, five stairs, right? But you don't go to the top of Chichen Itza in Mexico, where it's the steepest thing I've ever seen, and say, kid, good luck on your way down the stairs, right? Like, there's levels here. So
of all the things to pull out in all the world,
yeah, who knows?
You went there. That was good.
You never know where it's going to go with my brain.
No, the first thing I thought of was Keith would never fly his kid to Mexico because it costs too much money. But anyway.
I think that will be part of the balance. Like, how good are you around Mac? Right? The talent of the offense around him. Because
do you need to get the ball out quick? Are you having a bad offensive day? Max got to take that into account because even if you get a matchup, you might not have enough time to be able to run a go route. But can I run a 7-yard stop and just get the ball and boom, get it out, and my guys can protect in front of me?
And do we have guys that can get open quickly?
Yep.
Or on certain routes more than others? Or do we need the 50-50 ball down the field to Devontae Parker or the deep ball to Tyquan Thornton? Because we've talked about
that.
They lack in Edelman. We've talked about it for
yep.
that quick boom, boom, Tom Brady. When the going gets tough, I know Edelman will beat the slot corner across from him and I can throw it 1.4 seconds. He's going to get me 6 yards and we're moving a little bit here. We've sort of gotten past our struggles. That is a lacking aspect of this offense right now. But the idea that, I mean, they've dumbed down to the offense, like, or whatever you want to streamline, whatever phrase you want to use.
Yeah, I know there's a big debate on the Greg Hill show today.
And to some degree, you know, we're seeing the zone play action boots and things of that nature that a lot of those are just crossers. I was watching it last night with Justin Fields early in that game. That's what they're running. He boots it. He goes right, boom, boots back to the left side. He's got somebody and Cole Kmet, the tight end. One's at 5 yards, one's at
one
9 yards.
One or two, and if it's
pick
out,
one of them, right?
Throw it away
and
or not, run. Yep.
I got a run pass option because I can move a little bit, or I just throw it to the yard marker. We'll live to fight another day. I think you're going to see a good amount of that, and that's not necessarily an overly aggressive attacking.
No, but people will turn that into, oh, he had to throw it away because they don't know what they're doing. Because there's an expectation that every play should work.
Right. No, sometimes the other team had pretty good coverage.
There is that.
Right?
Or you've made a bad play call into the teeth of the right kind of defense, which happens all the time in this league.
And some of that is just chance, luck, preparation, right? Scheming, whatever your tendencies.
Hey, sometimes a D coordinator has a great day. You know, sometimes there are guys who just understand what to do. And, you know, honestly, the perfect example of that was when Tampa came here last year and took on the Patriots. They were able to slow down Tampa, not because they were the most talented, but they knew if we force Tom Brady to be patient, he will be patient, and it'll be a slow go for them, and we'll have a chance to win the game.
And
it wasn't like it was a world-class game plan. It was just smart coaching, and it slowed them down.
And a week later or whatever it was, they did not slow down the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Well,
they
there
hung
was
on
that,
for dear
right?
life.
And you were
kind
of hanging on there. That's exactly right.
And I do think there will be a lot of that with the Patriots offense. Both sides of the ball. They want to be game plan. They want to be week to week. But I think they're going to live and die by that this year because of the nature of their talent, their coaching, their schemes, their opposition. Like, they're not going to go, in my opinion, on these, we're great at this for a month, just downshift and gun it.
Well,
like, you got to figure it out as it goes along.
It's funny you say that because one of the things that I wanted to get to is, does the offense need to develop an identity beyond we're just going to do what the other guy doesn't do well?
Right.
There's got to be something that they can say, we know, nut cutting time, we can do this. And that process begins tonight, at least we hope.
Yes.
617-779-7937. Ask your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. We will get to Deshaun Watson. We have the Kiefer Madness Weekend Review at 12:30. And fun with NIL. If you don't know what that is, we'll smarten you up. But right now, here's Chicken Nick, ready to trend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What do you apologize for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation.
You're going to take a lot of heat for I stand on my innocence. I mean, I'm already seeing it all over social media. So, you know, what is going to be your response to that when the world comes down on you for standing on your innocence throughout this process?
Well, I have to do what's best for Deshaun Watson at the end of the day. And I know what happened. I was in those situations, but I have to continue to push forward and keep moving forward. And,
so what's your
and that's what.
Oh, brother, that was yesterday. Deshaun Watson taking a bad situation where he was suspended 11 games and fined $5 million. And, well, he made it worse. Somehow, Deshaun Watson found a way to make it worse. And what we're about to lay out here are the reasons for something that people have not been talking about. And that's a part of the reason why you listen to the Gresh and Keefe and that Andy Hart is alongside and for Keefe. Because in covering the NFL a long time, you realize that pretty much like Bill Belichick, the NFL is going to do what they want to do. And within this agreement that they came up with Deshaun Watson, there are lots of caveats in there in terms of, well, you go through counseling and you got to do this. And then there's, but at the end of this, Hart, and you and I learned this in covering the league forever and seeing Patriots get suspended, it's open-ended as to whether the NFL lets you back in after these 11 games. And when your agent comes out and says, Deshaun has always stated he's innocent of sexual assault. Nothing has changed in what he said. He's also remorseful. The decisions he made created this situation. The settlement allows him to move forward with his life and career. That, by the way, is from the agent, David Mulugeta, who not only negotiated this deal with the Haslams, but also had to be a part of the negotiating with the NFL to get to this point. You heard Deshaun Watson. You see the agent. If you're on Park Avenue this morning, Andy Hart, are you in the NFL being like, yeah, you might get back after 11 games?
No question. And, you know, we've always sort of used the phrase, if you kiss the ring of Goodell, if you bow down and just take what he's serving, generally it expedites the process, right? It gets you back on the field or out of trouble or whatever the specific situation is.
Here's your turd sandwich. Enjoy it.
Right. Chew it, enjoy it, pretend you like it, and we can all move on. Because we all do want to move on. Right? Can we agree that the NFL
yes.
wants to move on just like Deshaun Watson wants to move on?
I want to move on. I think right. everybody wants to move on from this.
He's
it's
a moneymaker.
Icky to talk about.
Right. He's a moneymaker. He's a star quarterback. They drive the league. All of that. But you're going to move on the league's way, the Roger Goodell way. And I think the league felt like I did when they released their statement yesterday and he agrees to this settlement that includes evaluation and going through treatments or therapy, whatever that would be.
Dee Haslam jumped all over that in her part of the press
yes.
conference, too.
There is a degree of an admission of guilt, right? I'm going to embrace these changes that need to be made in my life, right? So you've sort of, without saying I'm guilty as charged, you're kind of going down that road. And then as a guy on Twitter points out, like 9 minutes later, and I stand by my innocence, and Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, who is a
lawyer
by trade.
Yep.
His headline yesterday was, did Deshaun Watson dupe NFL into thinking he was acting
was accepting responsibility, mm-hmm. which I thought he was doing on some level.
And you take in the whole pregame interview before preseason game number one, and that's not what we heard yesterday.
No, I stand by my innocence. I'm apologizing to those that I may have triggered, you know, the situations. Like, he didn't take, and then the final paragraph of Mike Florio's Pro Football Talk post wondering if the NFL got duped is, our guess, if he doesn't make a clear and unequivocal public statement of responsibility before week 13, mm-hmm. there's a chance he won't be playing for the Browns when they visit the Texans.
Yeah, and look, and for as much as everyone wants to move on, and as a texter is like, well, you're talking about it. Well, it's in
still
the news.
A thing.
Yeah, very much still a thing. And the part of it that no one has jumped on is, there was a sense of finality yesterday. Oh, it's 11 games and it's $5 million and now everybody can move on. Not really. Not in the world of the NFL. And you're right. It felt like there was some bait and switch yesterday. And here is why we talk about it, Mr. 508. Because the agent decided to throw his opinion around. I read one there from David Mulugeta. I hope I got that right. And then there's this. Now, you talk about being tone deaf. For those who don't remember, the New York Times, Jenny Vrentis now works for the New York Times. She worked at SI for a while. She did the investigating and found that the number was really over 60 in terms of women that were involved in this. Only X was sued in terms of civilly. There were only a couple that were brought into this whole case with the NFL. So I read this. A New York Times investigation published in June showed that Watson engaged in more questionable behavior than previously known, extending beyond the claims of the 24 women who filed lawsuits against him. He booked massage appointments with at least 66 different women from fall 2019 through spring 2021. A few of these additional women, speaking publicly for the first time, described experiences that undercut Watson's insistence he was only seeking professional massage therapy. When reached for comment Thursday, David Mulugeta, Watson's agent, said, "We're going to stay away from the New York Times. Have a good one."
Basically, you dug some dirt up on us. We're done with you.
So instead of the accountability that everyone has been preaching, instead of the, hey, look at me, I'm not the monster people portray me out to be, and even from the agent standpoint, yeah, you know what? We're gonna stay away from you people. That is not a good look whatsoever. And you're right. If you're Roger Goodell, you kind of got pantsed on this one again.
Oh, yeah. Pounding your fist on your desk. Like,
yeah.
You're angry. You're
He's punching walls at this
100%
one.
Pulling your shirt open, your tie, whatever it may be. He had to have been angry the way he watched that unfold yesterday, where he thinks he is tying a bow, putting this in the rearview mirror, moving forward with his season, a star quarterback, the things that make money for him and the owners he works for, and he watches it just fall apart on live TV, listening to the quotes, reading things like this from the agent. And Florio, beyond being a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
he's tied in. He works with a significant partner in NBC, right?
Right?
He has a lot of connections. So when he throws out the possibility, and I know he started his career as just a pure muckraker, just ideas, anything he could find.
That's a good way of putting it. I'll refrain.
He's a little bit more tied in now. So I don't know that he just throws this out there if there's no chance there's any veracity.
It's not
to this.
Protecting just a couple of agents. Oh, did I say that?
Right.
Sorry.
No.
So
I have to at least acknowledge the fact that the NFL, somebody has said they're not happy. And listen, this guy wants
out.
To play with us.
Sure.
He wants it, because we already know the NFL called his bluff.
Yep.
The players and Watson, I'm going to sue. I'm going to go scorched earth. We're going to be talking about owners and discovery and all this. Never happened. He negotiated a settlement which included five more games than he originally had, $5 million more.
Mm-hmm.
Now you pissed him off again, in my opinion. He has to be. What's he going to do? How is he going to handle this? You got some damage control to do, Deshaun Watson and agent and experts.
And who's going to believe him now? Like, he did it once, then he came back and it was like, well, you know, I need to move on with my career. It's
right.
Almost like Hey, I want to move on. So I said what I said.
Exactly.
And now it's good. So why should we take you seriously now? He undercut any chance he had at having people really start to believe in him again and get some credibility.
You think that matters, though? I don't think that matters to Goodell or Watson or anybody.
Oh, no. I don't think from the Watson end. I think the NFL cares. But that's a part of the reason why the whole a guy like Florio says, well, you know, the next time he does it, he better be sincere. So the NFL cares that gets positioned a certain way, in my opinion.
For the 30 seconds that he goes on a microphone, a TV, a camera, and says it, no one's going to believe him. That ship has sailed, and that's fine.
Well, there you go.
The NFL just needs its ending that it can, again, package, tie a bow tie on, move forward, put it in the rearview mirror, and I think that's what Goodell will be looking for and get.
They're going to get him on. They're going to get him one more game. They're not going to let him play
conduct
that.
Detrimental.
They're not going to let him. Yep. They're not going to let him play that Houston game. I'm still entrenched in on that. So there you go. The very latest with Deshaun Watson and he and his agent kind of making it worse. Let's get to the weekend review.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe? Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it.
Hearts in for Keefe. He spent half the week with me here in terms of week in review. But before Andy Hart slid in on Tuesday, we were all at Patriots practice. And, fight number one went down on Tuesday. Here's what it sounded like. I think it was Damian Harris at, the end of a play. And then all of a sudden someone hit the ground. And it happened right near where the Carolina defenders are at. So they all came together, and then all I saw was 69 rolling in there.
Cole Strange.
That's in the Strange. Pulling people off and throwing people around and stuff like that. Loved it. And by the way, I think it was James Ferentz was the one that kind of had his arm around Damian Harris, sort of walking him away from that whole thing. At least I saw that.
Yeah.
It became a mass of people very, very quickly.
Yeah, there were coaches involved. What I do find funny is you go back and watch some of the videos, there's a few that never move, whether they're big, fat linemen that are like, I'm not getting involved, or coaches and personnel who are literally just standing there talking to each other back and forth like, We're not taking one step over there, right? This is stupid.
Trent Brown didn't hustle on Tuesday, but on the Wednesday fight, it's a little different, and we will get to that. We also had, the great Rob Ford, one of the real leaders in America's hat, known as Canada. Rob Ford, the former mayor of Toronto, rhino charged a woman who was in Parliament up there, and literally, ran right after her, and they're like, oh, he's a jovial fat guy. Well, his brother, Doug Ford, who took over, he's a real piece of work, too, and apparently his mouth is so big, a bee just couldn't help himself.
Not coming from the government, per se, but the premier. It's coming from the health sector. Holy Christ.
What was that?
I just swallowed a bee.
Oh, my
God. Holy Christ. I knew that little bugger.
Round him.
You okay?
Holy Christ, he's wedged in my throat. Sorry, guys. A little bugger got away in there.
All right.
Oh, I'm okay. He's buzzing in there.
Buzzing in there. Imagine that.
I don't think that's good if he's still buzzing in there.
I wouldn't think so.
Was that a...
Is that I'm okay. He's buzzing in there.
Yeah, no. Drown him. We said it the other day. Get a little vodka. Drown it.
Yep. Drown it. Get it drunk. Hope it doesn't sting your belly. And by the way, he didn't really swallow it. It was more of the, it flew in there. And you're a yachtsman. I'm sure on your boat.
Oh, yeah.
There have been many times where you've had a bug or three fly right into your chops.
Yep. I don't think ever a bee, a common fly or something.
Or something like that.
A gnat, one of those, don't bother me. The bee is a little bit of a step up in the bug world that could do a little internal damage.
Yeah, the bee would be a problem. Well, on Wednesday, after saying a fight wouldn't break out, guess what? A big fight broke out.
But it doesn't seem like they have anybody else that they can really count on. So,
uh-oh, now we got a fight.
Yep.
Now we got to fight.
We're wrong.
Full-fledged brouhaha.
Now we got to fight. Here come the Patriots to the other side. There was a cheap shot thrown by someone. Christian Barmore went running in. The fans are going wild. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's a fight on field two. Over near the fans, the children are horrified. More of the Patriots are running. The fats are even running over. The fats are running over for this fight. Fight one, Trent Brown didn't move. Fight two, Trent Brown got on the high horse and got over there.
Well, it started to get personal. It certainly became a thing.
A little chippy.
And not just the original, oh, it's hot, it's training camp, oh, somebody pushed somebody, this is what we do. Kind of like baseball fights.
You yelled at my kid, he sucks.
Right. you know baseball fights. There's a difference between, oh, we're all going to come out of the bullpen and just stand here, or we're coming in thinking about throwing haymakers.
That's like, right. Somebody gets speared, right?
And this escalated to a level where it's spilling into the crowd.
When Lou Maloney got a broken arm because of Pete Martinez and had to make a tackle, that was a real fight.
This and day two, these were real fights, and there was real animosity. And when you have Matthew Slater in the middle of it all, you know you've crossed some lines.
That's a good point. Well, you know, this guy, as a coach, I don't know if he has crossed the line with some of the things that he has said, but of course, part of Hard Knocks, it's the Detroit Lions, and they got a fiery coach named Dan Campbell, and, well, he had a message to the players before the first preseason game.
Oh, good. Hey, morning. Just so, man, we're all on the same page.
Here's the one thing I'm going to lose my over. I will go eight, man. If it's later in the game and you guys are out, some of you guys are out, and your teammates are out there, and some of these guys are scratching and clawing for spots, and I see you jacking around, you're looking up in the stands, you're laughing, you're not paying attention, you're being disrespectful to your teammate, I'm going to lose it. Just so we're on the same page. All good, man. All good. That would be the only thing. This is going to be fun, man. We were talking about it as a staff. It's going to be fun, man. I cannot wait to watch you guys play. We can't wait to watch you play. You're going to be able to cut it loose and have fun, man.
What do you think he's on? Like, he was breathing heavy there. He's in great shape. I mean, he's jacked. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Yep.
But doesn't it seem like he's on something, hopped up on something like
cinnamon swirls?
I don't know. But breathing heavy while talking to the team, like,
I will go eight, man.
I don't know. I didn't consider that.
Oh, he's on something. It could be, you know, just people
high,
like
could be high on life,
monster
is what you're saying,
energy or something like that.
He had a big hit the whole pot of coffee before 6 a.m.
There is something that gets him wound up. And where does he get the time to stay in such good shape?
Yeah, those guys never get out of shape.
How?
Well, I'm pretty sure that Dan, I've told this story before. I had a college coach, John Miller, who played at Indiana. He was like a grad assistant one of the years at URI. He's big with the Spielmans. They're all from Massillon, Ohio, Hardoville, right? They would always go back to Massillon every year to have like their own kind of like combine. Who could rep the most? Who could bench? You know, blah, blah. I think Dan Campbell was a part of that. But so if you've ever seen like the Spielmans,
yeah,
they're never out of shape.
But where do they to stay in that kind of shape, you got to work out.
Yeah, you need an hour, you would think.
At
an
least
hour
isn't
a day.
He doing up downs with the team and stuff like that.
He's wired differently.
He is definitely wired differently. I would suggest he's on something.
Belichick for a 70-year-old isn't like in terrible looking shape.
No, but he's not jacked.
No, he's not, but he never was. You know what I mean? Like Dan Campbell was a
But that's my most coaches
man.
Are a little chubby or a little out of shape.
Turn into Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy? Is that
because they're working 20 hours a day. They're eating whatever available or, you know, their little Debbie snacks or something that they got in the drawer. And this guy, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And meanwhile, Dan Campbell's like yoked up and sweating and breathing heavy while talking to his team and popping off. I'm just saying.
There's something there.
There's something there.
It's worth exploring.
It's weird.
And then finally, Bill Belichick was asked about the concept of a number one cornerback. Right. And this ensued.
Bill, philosophically, do you feel like you need a number one cornerback? Is that just a silly thing that we do with depth charts? Or is it to be a matchup thing? Or do you like having like the guy for your defense?
For our defense.
Sorry.
I'm confused. Sorry.
Yeah, I must have messed that question up.
We have a number one quarterback. Max,
corner,
our quarter.
Corner, sorry.
Cornerback.
Like, yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Do you feel like you need a number one cornerback?
I don't know. I mean, defensively, you have who you have, and you play with who you play with. I don't know. I number them however you want. It doesn't make any difference to me. I mean, you've got to put 11 guys out there, and they got to play well together. It's whoever those 11 guys are. So, yeah, I don't know. Number one, number two, number one tackle, number two corner. I'm not sure. I'm confused about that.
How come you can play with whoever's out there on defense, but you can't play with whoever's out there on offense? He was ready to jump on Max, our quarterback.
For our defense.
Yeah, I
just saying, Bill.
Here's the
consistency
thing.
Would be nice. Why has he earned a throne?
Here's the bigger problem. It's not on the Bill Belichick end. We have had a horrendous 2-week run of questions from the media to Belichick.
Typical. Blame the media. Always the media's fault.
Well,
you sitting on your high horse in a studio. It's the man in the arena that matters.
When a question is asked post game about David Andrews being a leader, and that guy just verbally barfing all over himself when Bill Belichick looks at him as if he's got turds hanging out of his mouth. And you dare sit here and try to spin it around when someone calls a running back the running black twice.
Well, that's unfortunate.
You know, it's unfortunate. It's not a consistent pattern of stupidity from people that apparently can't think when they've had all day to write down a question. Write it on your hand.
Well, you know, it's
again, I don't need the soliloquy beforehand. Well, you know, you match the feet and the speed. And, you know, when you match the speed and the feet come together. And then you can run and put one foot in front of the other. And then what do you think of speed?
We're just bullying and blaming the beat writers, huh? Is that what we've come to in this world?
Oh, my word. No, all I ask for is just a question. Come out with it. Not the whole hammer question.
Keep it short, like, no, hey, but, Damian, do you know your teammate's
name?
How about this?
Think about it, right? That's all I ask. When the microphone comes to you, don't be doing the, Bill,
It's nerve-wracking.
Soil yourself, wipe your hind end, and then come up with a question.
Is it that hard? Yes, I know all my teammates' names.
You've been shut down many times, Andy Hart, but I'm sure you thought about your question instead of, what do I do? The microphone's here. You crap yourself and then try to ask the guy something. Then he looks at you and goes, you're a moron.
That's the problem.
You're on live TV. You would yell at a kid for sucking, but then you're going to defend people that can't think and ask a question.
It's a tough spot. You're anxious. You're on live TV. You know how the internet works. If you say something dumb or he mocks you,
it's out there.
You will be a meme. You will be viral within seconds.
Can you answer this for me? Is David Andrews a leader? Do you think they told him to talk to other linemen?
I believe he's a captain.
Mother of God.
I am glad that the few times I've gone south with press conference interactions with Bill, it was a lot of pre-live TV and pre-internet age. Like the one time I asked him if he felt his team ever got the momentum early in my career in Denver, and they got it close but never really got in the game. What are you talking about? It was a one-score game. What are you looking for? And I went, I don't know. And I just made a noise.
And then you
glad
learned.
I wasn't on TV.
And then you learned. Exactly right.
Live and learn.
You learn to think before the microphone comes to you.
That is true.
There's your Kiefer Madness weekend review, and I'm sure I got heat with somebody now that can't ask a question.
Anyway. Andy Gresh on his soapbox preaching to the media.
I mean, good Lord.
From his cushy big chair in a studio where he has padding between him and Bill Belichick at all times.
Has nothing to do with that. It's got everything to do with being able to look at this thing called a microphone and to talk into it like you're educated. That's all right? Show me that you at least have a modicum of education that you could write down a question or two or three during the game, figure out the right way to phrase it so that you don't end up swallowing your tongue in the middle of it.
Or a B.
Good way to bring that around. NIL is a thing. It's called name, image, and likeness. Andy Hart brought something to our attention about it. And we have our first real NIL commercial off of the college football names of the year. We'll get to all that next.
I will go eight, man.
What are you trying to get some big wood?
Yes, I am.
Holy Christ.
What was that?
I just swallowed a bee.
The fats are running over for this fight. Will Fleming will talk Red Sox baseball at 125 with Gresham Hart, who's in for Keefe. Marloni Fourier and Mego coming up at 2 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have Red Sox baseball here on WEEI. Patriots preseason game number 2 tonight down at Gillette Stadium. And Rich Keefe and I went through, Hart, the names of the year for 2022 college football, right? Okay. A lot of great names. And literally the day after that, you came in on Wednesday and mentioned, hey, the Chicago White Sox are doing something with NIL. Wait a minute. That doesn't compute because it's a pro baseball team.
Yeah. So they signed a deal with a bunch of these college athletes, mostly Big Ten, Notre Dame, sort of their area of the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, men, women, different sports, everything. And I thought NIL was like basically, you know, star quarterback for a local football team gets paid by the local pizza joint to go on local TV or his social media and say, you know, you want a good slice of cheese pizza, you go to the blah, blah, blah house of pizza, right? I thought it was that simple. And he gets 10 grand out of the deal. And he's like living the high life with his boys for a couple weeks.
Supposedly.
Then it kind of evolved into teams are just creating these conglomerates or associations of NIL that just... One school, I forget which school it was had a company and a group. They were just going to give every football player, whether you were scholarship or priority walk-on, 15 grand or 25 grand. And I'm like, wait, now we're just flat out paying. They're not making money off their name, image, and likeness. You're just giving them money. They're not doing anything in return. It's sort of like the old days where in the 80s or whatever, you'd have no-show jobs, right? Like, the car dealer has this guy on the payroll. Yeah. He's never been there.
It was the kid who would be mowing grass on campus.
Except he wasn't.
Right, did it for 2 hours, got paid for eight, went and worked out the rest of the time.
So, and now we have a team like the White Sox.
By the way, that never happened at the University of Rhode Island whenever I was there, and it was 30 years ago, so no one can find out.
They're not there, and then they're known for their turf, right?
The URI turf. They're known for something.
But now we have a professional baseball team signing like a Purdue volleyball player and just basically giving her a mentorship, but she can come to a game for free. Like,
you know who's in it? You know who's been doing NIL? WWE.
Yeah, they're into it too. Like, what does it mean? I'm lost.
It's the, you're basically coming up with pretty much a sponsorship agreement. That's what it should be.
But what do they do for you?
Well,
what is some random college athlete
do? Well, for WWE, it's the you're committed to us that whenever you're done and you graduate, unless you go pro, we're your sort of pro team that you're going to join and you learn how to, you know, be a part of the circus and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so are these people going to be for the White Sox? Are these people going to tell people to watch the White Sox?
Well, there you go.
When I'm in my dorm room, the first thing I do is turn on the White Sox game and watch Tony La Russa fall asleep.
Well, if it is just tied into your name, then there will be some interesting possibilities. Like, for example, Oklahoma quarterback General Booty. Does he get the general insurance or does he endorse a strip club? You can go either way.
I think he would prefer
that, right?
The latter.
I would think so.
Wiggy's
too.
Getting on the phone with him right now.
Oh, yeah. General Booty. Yeah. For ALCS, come see General Booty at Dossiers. Oh, I can hear it now. You're exactly right.
General Booty.
But
do you have a preference? No, just General Booty.
Well, you know, we also had some other great names that were able to tap into the conventional way of your thinking, Andy Hart, like Nebraska wide receiver. DeColdest Crawford.
Awesome.
Who, of course, married up with a heating and air conditioning company. Here's the commercial in the more traditional way in which Andy Hart is thinking.
I'm so glad we called SOS. Our AC is DeColdest.
I'm always DeColdest. SOS to the rescue. Hey, this is DeColdest Crawford, wide receiver from Louisiana, now playing in Lincoln.
When your AC isn't DeColdest, you call SOS Heating and Cooling.
Their techs don't make commissions, so they give you an honest opinion, fair pricing, and longer warranties than a competition guaranteed. Take it from DeColdest. We will keep you cool this summer.
So what about running back Tank Bigsby of Auburn? What's he going to do? Go to the inflatable tube man arm waving and tank emporium? You know, like in Family Guy or something like that? How about Booby Curry?
Oh, boy.
Right?
Wiggy also on the phone with him.
What? Indian Booby, food. Curry.
Well, I said that's what I was thinking, too. Or he could be a big spokesman for... Right.
Bra shop.
Yeah. Oh, the bra shop. How about this one from Wyoming? What do you think Buck Coors would endorse?
Coors?
Or
breakfast light.
Or maybe Big Buck Hunter. Did you ever play that video game?
Oh yeah.
Ton of fun.
Yeah.
How about Bumper Pool, linebacker from Arkansas?
His name is Bumper Pool.
Bumper Pool. And you know who plays beside him in North Carolina? Storm Duck.
Are these real names?
Swear to God.
You made these up.
I'm not making them up.
Storm Duck?
Go to Alabama and ask for Kool-Aid McKinstry.
What are we doing? Are these real names or nicknames?
I'm just telling you, these are names. These are names of human beings that are going to be playing college football. They're UAB defensive linemen. We mentioned Fish earlier. How about Fish McWilliams?
Oh, the McFish.
Oh, there you go. McDonald's,
local,
right?
Local filet of fish.
LSU, Major Burns. Frank Burns. For anybody who remembers MASH, look it up. Google it, kids.
I still think you got to go a long way to get better than DeColdis doing an ad for the local air conditioning place.
I will tell you there is one offensive lineman quickly that might be able to trump DeColdis, DeForest, and all that, and that whole deal.
Yeah.
An offensive lineman from Georgia Tech named Wing Green. Chicken wings. Come on, yeah. Man.
B-dubs.
Wings, exactly.
Or the local joint.
Well, there's a Wake Forest tight end, Jaeger Bull.
Oh, it's easy.
Right? You would think.
Wow, it's almost like they were named in preparation for this. I said this to you. Maybe I need to reconsider my kids' names just in case they're ever in line for NIL deals.
There you go.
I want them to be obvious. And
look at the Charlotte offensive lineman, Panda Askew. Panda Hart.
I love pandas.
See, there you go.
Jack Jones would be, wasn't, didn't he?
Oh, Panda Express? Panda Express. Yeah. Well, you know, that was.
It was a misunderstanding.
It was a complete misunderstanding. So anyway, there you go. So NIL sweeping the nation, and it's only a matter of time before we get, you know, insert athlete here, great commercial, all that kind of stuff.
The coldest is so good, though.
It is pretty good, isn't
they got
it?
The return on that investment tenfold.
Of course. That kid, you know, so he had to say he had play here in Lincoln.
Yes.
Not University of Nebraska wide receiver because not an official sponsor yet.
Through the school, correct.
Exactly.
This is my side deal.
Ones that are just, you know, like USC who are saying to the Biletnikoff winner, hey, come play here and... There you go.
And funny, he makes his way there.
Well, again, it's all going to change. When the CFP takes over, look out. Then everybody's going to get paid.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.